Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends for free. Plus, you'll even earn more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Today on a terrifying episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what started out as a normal day at the office quickly took a turn down a dark hole. As this woman is overcome with these feelings of terror and fear as a man unlike any other walks through the door. What was it about this man that brought on these feelings of terror? And what led her to believe that this man did not possess a soul? That story and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want the advanced episodes of our show, the bonus weekly EPP episodes, the whole archive, all of it with no commercials, commercial-free, so you can just binge and binge and binge with no ads, then check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories, or go over to ghostpodcast.com, and you can sign up there or a link over to the Patreon page there as well at ghostpodcast.com. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, sitting here smack in the middle of a badass thunderstorm, Tony.
Another dark and stormy night.
I know. It just thundered and so intensely and loudly that it made my chair vibrate.
Wow. Now that's the button on the side of the chair. That's, oh, yeah.
I pushed the vibrate button. I thought it was the thunder.
Yeah. But that's all it was. So don't worry. I had that when I was in the other, because I'm in the new studio now. But yeah, when it was like even windy out there, like the whole building shook. It's like, this is kind of weird. I'm glad I'm not out there tonight, because this stuff comes in a little bit later for all of us.
You know, like whenever they tell you like 2 days in advance to expect severe weather,
it's
usually going to be kind of a doozy. But so far, like the electricity's on and I feel fine.
That was a reason, if you have a lot of anxiety, Wichita's not a great place to live. Because,
not really.
Because with that,
I swear used to be worse. Because I think Tornado Alley has shifted to the east.
Yeah.
Because we used to get a lot of tornadoes. And the last couple of years, we really haven't had many at all.
Yeah.
And the ones we have had have been out in the rural parts of the state. And then, like, they've had some really horrific tornadoes. In the east.
You haven't necessarily had the big ones right there in the last handful of years, but you still have those days of this could be a day.
Really intense weather.
Yeah. And that's what I always hated. Because, I mean, it's almost like comparable to like how they'll warn for hurricanes, where it's like, well, yep, 3 days out, looks like this could be really bad. And they start, I mean, it's like, but for tornadoes. And there's no other place in the country, for the most part, that really is like that, other than like, you know, other than like Oklahoma City and that in your general vicinity, where they'll kind of warn that far out and really be like, this is going to be, but for some reason, I don't know if it's able to be forecasted in that area of the country better further out or what.
And this year we actually had a lot of snow too. And last few years we haven't had much at all.
Yeah.
And this year we had, I don't know how much, but we had quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I think this year we're getting all the seasons, but right now we're getting a lot of thunder and lightning.
Yeah, we had.
So if you hear it, that's what it is.
We had more.
It's not my stomach rumbling or anything.
We had more snow here too this year, so it's I don't know. It's like I think we're gonna get all of the seasons to their fullest.
Yes,
wouldn't that be wonderful? Back to our ghost stories in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. You deserve a little bit of downtime. It's something that I think a lot of us have difficulty taking. If you go, and you got kids, you got family, you got this, you got that, and you're giving and giving, take a little bit of time for you. You need it so you can refill for everybody else. I do that. I take some time here and there. What I've been doing lately is I love going out in my garden. I got a little patio table set up out there, and it's just a peaceful place. I pull up my phone and I play a little Best Fiends. It's like a mental palate cleanser, kind of lets me relax and enjoy my time outside. And you can do the same, whatever is good for you. I do it maybe about once a day, really. If the weather's nice out there, it's kind of my happy place. Gotta check it out for yourself. Best Fiends, easy to pick up, play levels anytime you want. Easy to pick up and understand. It's not complicated at all. And it is so much fun. I'm in the upper 600s now on my levels. I know, it's good. Best Fiends is a free-to-download mobile puzzle game. Thousands of exciting levels, new adventures, challenges all the time, dozens of unique fiends to collect. You can customize your team of fiends to defeat the menacing slugs. Plus, there's offline play, too. So if you don't have service, you know, summer is coming up, trips are coming up, all that's coming up. Sometimes you're in places that don't have cell service. You can download it, and it's going to be there for you when you want to play. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to a story. It says, hey, Tony, Harper, Carol, and Todd, I recently became an EPP and even got to hear an earlier post I sent a while back on our haunted vacation experience. Thanks for that. I love your podcast and listen to them every day as I drive 100 miles a day round trip for work. That would suck. But thank you for listening. I'm glad we can be there. This post is about black-eyed kids or black-eyed people. I never knew what this could have been until I heard some stories of things on here and it hit me. Here's what happened. To preface, I've worked with people for over 30 years. Lots of types of people in funky situations, good, bad, angry, some dangerous, sometimes with mental health issues. I've seen and worked with so many different types of people that I just don't jump to judge because I found that most of them have some sort of backstory or reason for their behavior. So I just try to help them when I can and go from there. My faith is a private thing, so I don't use it to judge others. My golden rule is kind or be quiet and give people a chance. Oh, I hate that sort of thing when it went out the window here. A while ago, my employer was doing a job fair where we can talk or we can walk in, apply right there, have an interview and be offered a job. The event was all day long for a few days each week, and there were probably 100 or so applicants walking in each day. We had several HR staff managing the different steps in the process, and we'd rotate through the process so we didn't get burned out on doing one function all the time. We used a large waiting room area after registering them at the door, had them fill out other applications, and wait to be seen. One day about mid-morning, I looked over to see an applicant sitting off by himself at one of the tables, looking down at his hands folded on the tabletop. He was sitting very stiffly. He appeared to be sort of slight, maybe around 18 to 21 years old and had very pale skin. He had dark, neatly combed hair and was dressed very neatly for a young guy that age. My sons are both around that age and it was nothing like what they dressed like. While the other applicants are looking at their cell phones or talking, he was sitting alone and just looking down. Then, like he knew I was looking at him, he looked straight up at me. Then I saw he had completely black eyes. Not big pupils, completely black. They just locked on me. Nobody else appeared to be looking that direction, so it was like he was isolated. I had a feeling of panic and like a rock dropping to the bottom of my stomach. I got nauseated, and an immediate thought hit my brain. That boy has no soul. What on earth? Don't even know why that thought had popped into my head, and I've never had thoughts like this before, but it was like a huge warning sign in my brain. Stay away, that boy has no soul. When he looked at me, it was like he looked through into me. I had to make myself look away and felt myself stiffen up. My teeth clenched and went right over to the registration book to see if I could tell which applicant he might be. I were looking over my shoulder to see if he was still there. It creeped me out to turn my back on him. I am not a shy person. I'll walk right up to someone in a crowd, shake their hand, and introduce myself. In a prior job, I had to get statements from criminals and could hold my own with the rest. But I was not approaching this boy. There were often a few more people than the registration showed, since some would just come in and sit down, so the registration book was no help. I just couldn't bring myself to go over and talk to him or ask who he was. I asked one of the other staff if she had registered him or had him fill out an application yet. Was she going to get him started on the process? He was still sitting there, still as can be, looking down at his hands. She just looked at him, sort of shivered, and said, "That's a nope." She turned to the left to work with someone else and walked back to the registration table again to ask another staff member if someone had him taken care of. And when I looked at the table, he was gone. Nobody remembered entering an application for him, testing, or interviewing him. We didn't see him go out the front door by the registration table either. We were discussing with one staff member, as she said she got the heebie-jeebies from him. She wasn't going to talk to him either, and she didn't even see the eyes. The weird feeling stuck with me all the way home, and when I got home, I told my husband about the incident. He said it had to be some weird contact lenses or the lighting in the room. No, it wasn't. I just don't know what it was for sure, but it left enough of an impression on me that even now when I think about his eyes, I get this tight, nauseated feeling in my stomach. My friend said it. Heebie-jeebies was the best way to describe that crazy, creepy encounter. Well, I think I would have just asked him over out of curiosity and see your resume. I see here you worked at the International Church of Satan down on West Walnut. How was that? What would you say if I were to call down there to the International Church of Satan? What would they say your three best qualities are?
I'm good at being evil.
Talking in reverse and stealing souls. That sounds good. So what do you like to do for fun? Steal babies and sacrifice them at the river. On a stake of steel. Oh, okay. Well, is that like a group? Is that something you learned about is like a Facebook group or something? Or is that one of those online clubs? You will perish by midnight tonight. Wow. Well, that's great. You know what? I'm going to put you over here in the maybe pile. Thanks for coming in. If you'd like, there are some fresh Rice Krispie squares over there by the door. Yeah, right over there. And I think there's a water bottle with our logo on it. You can have one of them, and they're half water bottles. You know, you don't have too much liquid in your body at one time. Thank you. Have a good day. That's how that would go.
I like that he said, "Have a good day" at the very end.
Yeah, it all kind of came out of the
even
end.
Satan can be polite.
Yeah.
I mean, go figure these days. You know what's interesting, though? And it's not even like the husband dismissed it. Oh, it must be contact lenses. But it was the feeling that went with seeing that person. Mm-hmm. It was like something's wrong. And I always say when you get that feeling, you got to go with it. I don't care what the situation is. It could be, you know, a demon, or it could just be a rapist. And like, so it could just be an evil person.
Yes.
But whenever you get that feeling, go away from it. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go to it. And it's also interesting that other people there confirmed it. They saw him and they felt the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, no. The one, hard no. I'm not going to talk to that guy.
It's all about staying away from negative energy and negative people and this. I mean, I think the more you get around that, the more that it attracts things like that to you. And I think the more difficult than it is to kind of walk away from it, because it's just a feeling so normal, and like that becomes your normal. And until you're away from it, it's like, shit, like I don't have to interact. I mean, especially as we get older and we're just putting up with less shit from people. It's like, yeah, I don't choose to interact with you anymore. I don't do the negative, you know?
That's so true. Cause like, it's too bad that you don't have the I don't give any fucks attitude in your 20s. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't start happening until, well, in your case, I mean, you're an old soul, but mm-hmm. It really doesn't start happening to most people until they're in their 40s. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like I don't give any fucks about anybody, but it's like all the things that you know, that did matter to me, like, that's really not that important.
The key to happiness
things matter to me now.
The key to happiness, I think, in most things is have no expectations of people. That's it. Live by that. You'll be good.
And just be kind. I think you get a lot more from being kind.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, that part of me, because I am a kind person, like, yeah. I would be like, oh, that poor guy, he's got demon eyes. He's over there all by himself. Maybe that part of me would want to go over and talk to him. But then it's the other part of me that's like, okay, my heart's fluttering. I'm feeling I can't get a deep breath. Mm-hmm. I'm physically reacting to that person.
Yeah.
That's that fight or flight thing.
I would be very curious about that individual. And I don't know if I think I would have been the one that called them over for an interview just to see what the fuck was up. I wouldn't do anything like mean to them, but I'd be like, what the fuck is up? You know, and just see what happens. Treat it like a normal interview. See how it goes. And then that's probably how it would go, like we just saw. But no, you're right.
You'd be possessed by a demon.
I know. But if you can be kind and have no expectations, maybe the demons will go away.
Maybe the demon would be a great employee.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's...
He's got bills.
He's got bills to pay. Can you pay my bills? Can you take my telephone bills? And thinking maybe we could chill. Don't think you do, because like, you are a demon.
I ain't got no bills.
It was the original lyrics to the Destiny's Child song, because you are a demon. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I don't know why I said it like that.
Hi, Tony. This is Trevor. I actually got quite a few stories, but the one that really strikes me as odd is... one night, this is back in like 2007, okay? And we had one of those old 70s style fireplaces that they look like orange cones, basically. But we had it outside. And we had a fire one night. My mom had a bottle of wine. We were probably like 16, 17, whatever. And we were drinking the wine. And we kind of got a little buzz off it. First time probably ever really drank or whatever. But the girls leave. It ends up being me and my friend, Seth. All right. And I actually had a German Shepherd at the time. It wasn't like a drug dog, like brown and black. It was just an all black German Shepherd. So my buddy, Seth, he leaves. And you remember those old caller IDs, like the white ones, like the Talkatone or whatever the fuck it was. I can't, pardon my language, but whatever it was, like he leaves and he calls me on a cell phone. And I remember looking at the caller ID thinking, oh, maybe he left his phone here. Then I quickly realized he couldn't be calling me if he's on the phone. So anyway... So I answered it. He's out of breath, running. He was like, dude, someone just chased me out of the backyard of your house. Okay. So I'm like, well, what do you mean? We used to have these rabbits that used to nest in the bushes and stuff. We had, like, in our backyard, it used to be just surrounded by bushes and shrubs and trees, like at the corners and stuff. And so I told him, I was like, yeah, it was probably just rabbits. He's like, no, dude. He's like, okay, we have where my house was, it's that perpendicular, so it's like an L shape. There was a garage at the strong arm of the L, and our house sat on the bottom, but there was a space in between them. And he said when he was walking by, he looked between that space and see if the fire was going out, which it was, or whatever, and then he passed the garage that sat perpendicular to our house. And he said, right after he got there, there was a series of like four bushes. Okay. And he said he looked, saw the fire that was going out. And then once he passed the garage, he looked back and he said something came running at him out of the bushes. And this is what he's telling me on the phone. I'm like, what are you talking about? And at this point, I had to take my dog outside so he could use the restroom. I'm on the phone, and he's like, dude, I'll just talk to you tomorrow. So I'm outside by myself. And when we had the fire, I had a grill set up, too. And I had a butcher's knife on the grill because we made steaks or whatever. and I have my German Shepherd out there. Big dog. He bit me. He's injured me. Like, he is a very protected dog. He wasn't vicious or anything, but if you fuck with him, like, you're going to get the rats, you know what I'm saying? So after that phone call, I'm taking my dog out, making sure the fire's out, making sure the grill's off, all that stuff. And at the very back right corner of my yard, there was a tree. We built a tree house in it and all kinds of stuff. But my dog, his name was Rambo, not Rainbow, Rambo, like Sylvester Stallone. He like peeped at this tree. You know how like hunting dogs do when they pull their leg up and their tail goes stiff and the spine of their fur like stands up? That's what he was doing. And I'm like, Rambo, like, let's go. You know, I'm trying to get inside, you know, just hurry up and take a poop and let's go back inside. But he would not move. I had him on a leash and I was pulling him, but he would not move. He was staring straight back to the right corner of this yard where this tree was at. And out of nowhere, this tree, this thing was like the size, it wasn't a huge tree, like a redwood, like Californian tree or anything like that. It was about the size of a telephone. Like, so it was a decent sized tree, but this tree started shaking. Leaves were coming off it. And at first, I thought it was, like I said, the rabbits, or we had raccoons sometimes too. And I thought maybe there was like a fight, but the whole tree was twisting. You know what I'm saying? And my dog was like, put his tail down, his nose down, and we went back inside. I spent that whole night staring out the back of my fucking house, out through the window in the kitchen, because I didn't know. It's crazy, but I live in Northeast Ohio, okay? I live about 45 minutes south of Akron, and I thought it was crazy too. The name of my town is New Philadelphia, Ohio, but it is a small town. But if you ever listen to Beyond Creepy, that YouTube channel with Mr. Black, there's actually evidence of a Bigfoot sighting back in like 1972 or something like that in my hometown. But when my friend came back the next morning, I'm like, dude, and I'm telling him, like, this is probably rabbits, raccoons, whatever. He's like, dude, this thing that charged at me was as low as the lowest branch on, we had three trees, like two on each corner, and then there was bushes on each side. He was like, it was as low as the lowest branch. We go out there, we couldn't even grab off. Like, even if you could dunk a basketball, you could not get this thing. This thing was like 9-10 feet tall, like the branch. I didn't see what he saw, but he was telling me, he was like, no, dude, this was not rabbits. This was not raccoons. He's like, whatever chased me out of your yard was as high as that. And I was left dumbfounded, dude. I don't know. Like, I've been wanting to call and tell you guys about that story, but like, I don't know how to word it right and all this and that, you know how it is. But like, I have other stories too. Like, I have paranormal ghost stories. Blacker and black figures, all kinds of stuff. So I hope you use this. I appreciate your show. You know, thanks for giving me the time. If you would like to call me back.
And that's where we turn that down. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
That took a detour. Like, I'm listening to this story. I thought he did a great job with the story. And like I'm visualizing it and everything. And it was funny. I wasn't visualizing like a Bigfoot scenario. Mm-hmm. I thought there was going to be like a shadow person or something like that. So it totally took a left turn on me. And I didn't see that coming. And I don't know what I feel about like a Bigfoot. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I was convinced Bigfoot existed.
Yeah. You were convinced it did exist?
Oh, yeah. I just knew it because you saw it on the National Enquirer. There's Bigfoot.
Well, and Harry and the Hendersons too, you know.
Right. And then as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay, somebody would have found it, right?
You would think.
But there's a lot of, you know, like,
there's a lot of evidence.
I live in Kansas, like, it's all farmland and wheat fields and shit, but there's a lot of land. Like, it would be hard to, like, watch all of it.
Yeah.
And when you think about the whole U.S., I mean, it is possible, right?
I think something could exist like that. Yeah. I mean, I think it. I mean, my question would be, how come we've never found the bones and the skeletons? You know, there's bits and pieces here and there that...
Because, like, one Bigfoot wouldn't live forever.
Yeah. So where do they go to die? Maybe that's part of the answer, though, too. Maybe they do go to die somewhere where you're not going to find them. Maybe
like
there's...
the Loch Ness Monster. There's this lake.
Yeah. Maybe there's species...
It could be pretty big, but it seems like you could find it.
Maybe their species eats their dead or something. I don't know. But
it was just weird. I thought we were going one way. I wasn't prepared for this.
There you go.
I just don't know what I think about Bigfoot. I have no reference points other than National Enquirer covers.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, because I don't even think they do Bigfoot stories anymore. But I didn't see that coming. But then, you know, his friend like saw something that wasn't normal. And the dog sensed something or saw it. Mm-hmm. And then the whole tree starts shaking.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
I feel the sky come tumbling down.
Tumbling down. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony, Harper, Carol, and Todd. This is Eric from Central Illinois. Just calling to give kind of an update of things going on in my house. Last time I called, back in August, I want to say, I had mentioned that when I'd come up from downstairs that I heard a full-on conversation going on coming from the back bedrooms in our ranch house. And this is like late at night, like 11 or 12 o'clock. That happened to my partner when she got home one night, and I was cooking, cleaning in the kitchen, and she walked in the door and she started talking to me, and all of a sudden she stopped and she said, "Shh, do you hear that?" And I stopped and listened. She goes, "Is the TV on in the back bedroom?" And I went and looked, and nope, no TV was on. So that was kind of cool that something else kind of happened at the same time that I had experienced as well. Nothing really happened for a couple months. And then around November, she had left to go to the store. And so it was me and the toddler, and we were in the living room. And we have an L-shaped ranch house. And I was in the living room, and I heard the bedroom door to the master bedroom slam. And I thought maybe she had snuck in, forgot something, and went and looked. And the door was closed, so I popped my head in there, and she wasn't there. And I looked in the garage, and the car was gone. So I was kind of like, "Oh, okay, that was interesting." Then about a month later, the toddler had woken up in the middle of the night, and so I laid down in bed with him and getting him back to sleep, and I'd fallen asleep, and I don't know if this was just I was dreaming or something, but in my left ear, I just heard a whisper that said, "Pull him close." And I just like suddenly woke up and rolled over to my right, and the toddler just started to kind of wake up and fuss and stuff. And I just pulled him close and he went right back to sleep. And then a couple weeks after that, I was doing some work late at night in the back bedroom, and it was kind of my night off from watching the toddler, and he had woken up, so mom went in and soothed him and was in there, and the dog just kind of started freaking out. Now, this is about a two-year-old chocolate lab, and she doesn't bark at all, so she's kind of making these noises, and I thought like maybe she was dreaming because I've, you know, those kind of yips that sometimes dogs have when they're dreaming. But this was like full on like barking. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? So I get up, go to the other end of the house, and she's sitting there and she's just looking at the door to the master bedroom. She's in her cage. And so I let her out thinking maybe she had to go to the bathroom and she would not move. So I coaxed her out with some food and she's still staring at the master bedroom. So I'm thinking maybe somebody broke in through, so we have a sliding door to the bedroom. Maybe somebody broke in or something. So I opened up the door and we keep the door closed because she likes to run in there and we want to keep her out of there. And she wouldn't go in. So I went in, searched the walk-in closet, the bathroom, and nothing was in there. So that was kind of interesting. And then just the last month in February, again, I was laying in bed with the toddler, fell asleep, and he had woken up, and we had a nightlight in there. And he had woken up, and I'm lying facing the wall, and I see just block out, like somebody is walking from my left or my head to my foot out the door, like just something walked out. And I was kind of groggy, so I'm thinking like maybe you know, my partner had heard him fussing and came into the room, and I was just so discombobulated that I thought that like she was going to walk into the room, and that's like how much I sensed that something was there. And when I rolled over, I fully expected to see something, somebody, her there, and there was nothing. And then a couple weeks later, you know, as a paranormal investigator, I don't mind going down in, you know, dark. So I went down to grab my power cord for my laptop for work, and I grab it and I turn around to go back upstairs, and probably had to walk like 15, 20 steps to get to the stairs. And I just had this overall sense of just a blanket of cold that just wrapped around me, and all the hair on the back of my legs, my arms, my back stood up. And I just calmly walked to the stairs and got to the top and just turned around, and it was just like complete pitch black. Now, I bring that up because we have a door that goes to the basement that's at the bottom, and our router and modem are off to the right. So you can kind of see the glow of the Christmas tree of the router and the modem on the door, and it was gone. And I sense, like at different times of the day, like tried to see if you know, I could see it early in the morning, at dusk, you know, but this, you know, I can see it when it was around the same time, like 10 o'clock at night, and you can always see it on the door because we don't really mess with that door. And it was blacked out. So just some going-ons in the house over the last 6-8 months or so, and thought I'd call in and enjoy the podcast, and thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing that story. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, there's a lot, but I think that whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be anything that's threatening at all,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, and you know, the dog barking at the door, the whatever it was the dog was barking at in the room. I think that animals definitely pick up on things.
Sure.
So, you know, the dog might have picked up on something, but it just doesn't seem like anything is there that's trying to harm them or hurt them.
Or you is know, there?
I mean, I don't really want to wake up, you know, and see something kind of walk past either. Sure. I mean, that shit's creepy. But the way he tells the stories, it's certainly not like anything. They're like, we got to get out of here.
It's more so uncomfortable than it is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, but the one story about when he's holding, you know, then the voice said, like, bring him in close or something like that.
That was like a little creepy.
It's creepy, but it almost seems like someone who like that would be a grandma, grandpa, father, mother, like hold that baby close.
Yeah. Like, know? Like take, yeah, cherish it. It wasn't like, yeah. like it wasn't like a voice in the corner going,
well, because I was like, where's that going? Is there going to be like, and then the lamp fell from the nightstand and then, right where the baby would have been. But that didn't happen. And so it was just more like, oh, hold that baby close is kind of how I took it.
Well, and, there's a part of it that I don't know that he included in this. But
oh, you've got something to add.
I do. Let me.
Oh. I bet it's quite insightful.
It is. Let's see here.
As you gather your thoughts.
I am. I'm just trying to gather all of my thoughts right now as to what, you know, I'm trying to channel this. I'm trying to figure out what exactly was it that.
Not necessarily evil.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Not necessarily. I mean, it still is a freaky presence in your house. That's never good.
Mm-hmm. It is a creepy moment. Okay, so this is this here is what I believe probably happened, but through the trauma, they probably did not, you know, they weren't comfortable sharing it. So, audio in what I envision.
Okay.
I, Vigo, the scourge of Carpathia, the sorrow of Moldavia, command you.
And then the guy's like,
command me, Lord. Find me a child that I might live again.
A child?
A child.
A child.
On a mountain of skulls in the castle of pain, I sat on a throne of blood. What was will be. What is will be no more. Now is the season of evil.
So that's probably what happened.
Oh yeah.
I know they kind of held back. They held back, but I'm thinking that's probably close to more of reality than we're really willing to say.
So are you saying that guy just didn't share that part of the story?
Yeah. I mean, Vigo's alive and well, and that's probably what he was dealing with.
So. Okay. You're right. I'm sure.
He's like, what the hell? Ghostbusters 2.
The interpretation, though, is top-notch.
Did you like it?
Hats off for that, yes.
Thank you. I
very, very good.
I really, you know, God, you know, this is what I got to get. I'm going to do this. I've been thinking about what else do I want to put in the studio. I want to get a giant Vigo poster from Ghostbusters 2.
Do it.
Just like the one in the, like, big. That will be so creepy and cool. No one will want to come in this room because it'll be so, it's like, what is that?
I'll come visit this summer and just walk right back out.
I'm sure there's probably an item on Etsy somewhere. So I'm gonna look that up. All right, that's gonna wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. You know, keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.